Devotions, family devotions. So I'm going to start with a quote from Ted Tripp. The family circle gives courage and determination to go back to the marketplace of life. God designed the nuclear family to be a refuge to facilitate our understanding of the church. Mutual fellowship, communion, encouragement, admonition, and fasting serve the body of Christ just as those qualities make the family strong. So let's talk about a family. We know that the Lord defines a family as a man and a woman joined in marriage by vows to God, right? So even if you are just married, you're a family. Even if you're a single person, you belong to a family, right? Some of our sweetest times have been in having others over to join our family. They're not our children, but they are in the body of Christ, and they come and they sit in with us as we do family devotions, which is great. This is not just a chapter on devotions with children. It can be with adults as well to encourage each other in godliness. And we should be growing with our spouse when our children have yet to arrive in our family, while they're in the midst of it, and when they are gone. Now, that may not look the same as any other particular family. So one of the things that we need to be super careful not to do is compare. Just remember, everything we're talking about is a buffet of options. So no two families are going to look the same. And just like when we share our family or our devotions that we do with ourselves and with our family, they look different because each family is different. Mm-hmm. Don't resist the urge to say, oh, Allah does it this way, I have to do it this way, I must not be as godly as her. Or Christy's husband does this, that's so godly, if I want a godly husband, I need to convince my husband to do that, right? Instead, look at this as, wow, look at all these ways that the Lord has made our body different. We all have different schedules, personalities, preferences. And as women, we particularly want to be super careful not to try to lead our husbands. We want to let them be the leaders. So your number one resource, if you hear, that is so precious, that is so sweet, I would love my husband to do that with us, your number one avenue is prayer. Lord, please move in my husband's heart to desire to do this with our family. And I have, in more than one occasion, seen in my own life and dear friends, the Lord opens up opportunity where the husband actually asks the wife, what do you think? What would you like to do? And then there's an opportunity. He's actually asked for your opinion. You can now share it. He didn't know that she was praying before that for that opportunity. And now he actually wants to listen to what she's saying because she's not coming trying to tell him how to do his job, but she's giving counsel to someone who's asked for it. So if you hear something tonight and you're like, I really would like for our family to start doing that, I would really encourage you, be faithful in your part. You cannot take your children where you're not going yourself. Be faithful as a wife, pray for your husband, and wait to see what the Lord does. He may bring someone into your husband's life to speak to your husband and encourage him to start doing something with your family. He may bring someone into your life to encourage you to start living in a different way that would encourage your family. So try not to compare, but use this as a time to be encouraged. Wow, I can do this for my own self. I can do this for my kids. This is great. And as always, take whatever we're learning here. If you want to do it with your kids, and ask your hubby, are you okay if I do this? What do you think about this? I'd like to get these books. I'd like to try this. Or even asking him, where do you think we need to teach our children? Where are they lacking? At least once a year, usually twice a year, my husband and I have time where we specifically discuss our kids. Mm-hmm. And it's like a long time because we have a lot of kids. But we go through and we talk about each child, where are their strengths, where are their weaknesses, what we're doing, what I'm doing to train. So it's usually like an update, right? I'm downloading information and giving him like an update. Here's where this child is. Here's their strengths. Here's their weaknesses. Here's where I've seen progress. Here are the areas where they still need to grow. And then I let him speak and he says, okay. And he asks me questions. I try to answer them. Maybe I don't know the answer. And then he'll give me guidance and we'll brainstorm what is it we need to do to help our children to walk in godliness and be prepared for adulthood for each one of them. Okay, for this child, let's look into this thing. And sometimes it's very seemingly unspiritual things, right? Like, let's look into signing this child up for like a sport. They need the rigor. They have the energy. They've demonstrated responsibility. They want to do it. Let's give them that freedom and see how it goes, right? That doesn't seem super spiritual, but I need my husband to weigh in on that because it's going to require me being away from our family, driving. This child's now going to be influenced by other people. There's a lot of maturity that's involved to interact in a sport, especially for boys, where they're not going to like melt down or have like a fit of rage because they didn't win or there's a bad call from the ref. So all of those things come into play to other things that are very spiritual, like where my husband's like, okay, we need to cut back on this area. They need to be memorizing these scriptures. We need to be looking for opportunities for this child to be doing this or that. So I would encourage you, as you think about your time and devotions with your kids, what is it is going to be tailored to their needs? And that's the beauty of devotions, is that even if you're going through one of these books, you can be like, we're pausing the book today. I've done that on more than one occasion, especially after like a trip or a holiday. Wow, a lot of sin just came out, right? Because we had a lot of time to serve our flesh. We didn't have a lot of chores. We had a lot of people like doting on us. All of our senses were satisfied. I ate delicious food. Mm-hmm. I got to sleep in. I had people telling me they loved me. I got gifts, whatever happened, right? Mm-hmm. And now I'm back in my home with my siblings doing my chores and I'm just not handling it very well. It's like, okay, it's time. We're pausing the devotion. We're going to talk about dying to self. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about what it means to follow Christ. We're going to talk about loving our neighbor as ourself, whatever that is. Does anybody want to share anything about that or have any questions? Can you relate? Am I the only one who goes to Christmas or holiday and you're like, wow, my children have a lot of sin I didn't realize wasn't there?
I did have a quick question. I don't know, maybe it's not as related, but you mentioned like about sports, right? And boys having range, like anger or like, you know, something.
One of the multitude of possibilities.
Yes, so many things. So would you not sign them up when they struggle with that, or would you sign them up to kind of grow their character in a way, you know, that like there's another adult like that kind of over them that they need to listen to and kind of grow in maturity that way? Or do you want to see maturity before you sign them up for something like that?
That's a great question. Does anybody want to answer? Alla?
Well, this is in our book that we're reading. This is more geared towards teens.
Right.
But this gives you an opportunity to direct them as well. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're directing and it's really not seeping through, well, then in that case, maybe they're not mature enough to handle it, and then you kind of pull back. But just protecting them from something does not help them.
Yeah.
Because basically what you're doing, you're just taking them out of a situation where you could teach them through it. So you're not equipping them for the future, if that makes sense.
Okay, okay. That makes sense.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We just read that too.
I love that. If my kids are younger, I'm usually like, you need to prove. I didn't bring it with me, but there's I feel like I brought it maybe last time, Storytime with the Millers. At some point I feel like I brought it. Maybe I haven't. I love it's by like the Mennonites, I think. They have it's like $7. It's been $7 for like 20 years. I read it to my oldest and I just started reading it to my youngest and she's like, I love them. They're so simple. Okay. The stories are like, don't be bossy.
Okay.
Pick up your toys quickly when mom says pick up the toys. Obey when mom says in the house to stay in the house. Don't run out to the barn. You might get into a sinking pit of manure at the barn and you're like, you know, stuck. Like things you're like, well, this is so practical because we don't live on a farm. But it would really happen that your kids would be like, I want to help you, mom, and try to do the cupcake batter and tip the whole thing on the ground after you told them to sit with the baby. So all those stories and those stories are so helpful in talking about character, which is where you can talk about and see what is your temperature regarding these character issues, like anger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how does my child respond when I talk about these things? Mm-hmm. Can they perceive, do they have enough biblical self-awareness that this is a weakness of theirs?
Mm-hmm.
Do they trust my counsel to them, my guidance, my perception and observation? Son, I've noticed you have a tendency when things don't go the way you expected, you tend to get very angry.
Mm-hmm.
What does God say about that? And taking them maybe to James and talking about the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. How do we know if our anger is for God's glory or for our glory? And talking them through and kind of testing their teachability and then watching it as you give them counsel, like, okay, here's what mommy and daddy want you to do. Mm-hmm. When you're in the situation that they're getting angry, this you give them the steps, right? Like, we want you to put anger away from you. How do you do that? You can remove yourself from the situation and pray and ask God for wisdom. You can go find another task to do. You can ask the other person to please be patient with you because you don't want to get angry. There's a whole list of things that we can give our children practical steps to do as long as God's words are the center of it. And then watch. Do they do that? Are they walking in that?
Mm-hmm.
If you can put them in that opportunity as much as possible where they fail, give them the tools for success, and then watch. Do they turn back to do what mom and dad instructed them? Are they holding fast? Proverbs 3 talks about that. Are they holding fast to mom and dad's instruction and teaching like it's a garland for their neck? Are they holding fast to it? No? They're not ready to go play on a team sport.
Mm-hmm.
For us, like when they're 6, 7, 8, 9, right? as they get older, then it's like, okay, now you're older. Let's see how that goes. Mm-hmm. Can you have self-control in that area? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to listen to mom and dad? Are you teachable and repentant when you sin? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really depends on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It's like the level of their response. But as they get older, you want to give them more opportunities for that because you want to see, can you make wise choices? And when you fail, do you recognize mom and dad are here to help you and God's word is the truth to rely on for success? It's not, I'm going to muscle through, you know? Were you going to say something soon?
I was just going to ask, is there a way to judge that before you put them in the sport? Only because my observation, some of my friends up north, again, I watch their kids go through sports, and they would tell them, you have to really want to do this because you are committing to the full season. You can't decide part of the way through, I don't want to play, because then you're letting everybody else down, mm-hmm. and you made a commitment and you have to stick to it. So mm-hmm. I guess part of my question would be, is there a way to determine that?
Watch them. Yeah. I would say watch them. So if you don't have a bunch of kids, go find a bunch of kids and let them go play with a bunch of kids. Ideally, find a bunch of kids and let them go play and let some other adult be in charge and see what happens. Like, go to co-op, get a bunch of parents. Can we just meet up at the park like a couple times this month and play games? Mm-hmm. And you can even be like honest with them. I did a co-op with my kids when they were younger, and the purpose of that had zero to do with academics. It was entirely with their character. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see so many things. Can you submit to another adult? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to do what's asked of you, even when it's not your favorite activity? Mm-hmm. Or it's not something you're particularly competent in. Are you willing to do it anyways without being rebellious or stubborn or having a bad attitude? Yeah. Are you willing to do whatever's asked, if it's not sin, in a cheerful way? Can you get along with other people? Are you arrogant about your own knowledge? Are you willing to listen to other people's ideas or opinions, even if they're different than your own? Mm-hmm. There were so many opportunities for character building, and that's one of them. Yeah. So I would look, okay, let's go and let you play and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Do you have the capacity to have the attention span to actually like pay attention to the coach and play the game? I have had kids where I'm like, well, part of the reason you can't go play a sport is because I watch you out there playing with your friends and like they're trying to get your attention and you're like picking flowers. So I don't think that we're going to sign you up for a sport yet. Or you stomp off the field when you didn't get the play you wanted. That's not the way that it's going to work. Sometimes not. Sometimes it's not until they get on the team, the field, and you're like, okay, this was
It's going to be a very humbling season for all of us, you know? But that is an opportunity. Like you said, they get on the field and you see it, then you can say, we need to work on this.
Right. Yeah, because sometimes when you're at home setting, it's easier for them to be, well, they have a lot of sin issues for sure, but it's kind of like their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. They either really good or really bad because nobody's really bothering them as much. I mean, they're siblings, obviously, but it's kind of more familiar to them, you know? They kind of can handle that. But when they're out and about, it's different. So sometimes, like, okay, like, he's okay at home, but how he's going to be out and about, like, if I don't really put him in a comfortable situation, you know? So, I mean, they're still so young, like, so it's like...
I would just look for it and test it. And then that's the beauty of family devotion. Mm. Like when you're having devotional time, you can direct and instruct. Yeah. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about anger. Mm. Let's talk about, and that's in these, like the Marilyn Boyer, where she talks about those portraits. That's the kids of character. I did a lot of those. I would like bounce between those and like more straight biblically based without a theme. Because when they were younger, they just needed so much help to understand what does it mean to be honest? What does it mean to have integrity or to take initiative? What do those things mean?
Yeah.
And so being able to read and show them and talk about in your everyday life, that means when you walk past like a piece of paper in the kitchen on the floor, it's crumpled trash, you should pick it up and throw it away.
Yeah.
That's initiative, right? Ta-da! It was like light bulb, you know? And that was helpful. And then as they get older, now it's like, okay, almost the reverse. Don't forget, we've got to jump back and help little ones to remember, but we're going to talk about that in a minute. As they get older, it needs to be, I'm teaching them how to study their Bible. How do you open your Bible and read it? Especially when you are not a believer, and I want you to read in the morning, you're choosing to read in the morning, that's great, but you may not understand anything you're reading. So what does that look like? Let's open up to Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. And we're going to read verses 5. Well, let's just read verse 4 because it's so great too. Sue, would you read verse 4 through 9 for us?
Sure. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Amen. So the primary lesson we need to teach our children is all about who God is and who we are in relation to Him. So according to Deuteronomy, we do this minute by minute. When we sit, when we walk, when we lie, when we rise, minute by minute, opportunity by opportunity, day in and day out, teaching them about God, which comes in lots of little moments of correction, the recognition of a kindness, even observing a rainbow while you're taking a walk, or in that little quiet moment before you tuck them in at night. This should be coming from the overflow of our own heart, from our knowledge of the Word, depending upon God and spiritual growth and maturity, which means if we aren't depending upon the Lord and we aren't growing spiritually and we don't have maturity, we can't lead our children in that way either. However, we're not always strong in the Lord, and sometimes we are in seasons of fatigue or illness. Maybe we did not go to Bible college or grow up in a Christian family, and we don't have the knowledge of Scripture we need. You may have even had children, and then you got saved after you had children. So that is the great place where resources like this come in handy, because there is a place for life on life, everyday conversations, and there's also a place for using resources to have a more systematic way of working through teaching your kids truths. And to yourself, you will be blessed by this. I had a friend who was shocked. You know, I realized my Bible time with the kids is really profitable. I was like, yeah, I know. There's been a lot of times where I get up, like you were saying, Anna, you get up and you're like, I'm going to have a great Bible time this morning. And then you're like, hear a little patter of feet, or like, Mommy. And you're like, okay, I'm going to still try to have my Bible time, but it's just not as, I had a little novelist next to me this morning. Mommy, how do you spell is? No, it sounds like there's a Z. Is there a Z in there? And I'm like, can you ask Daddy? Because I'm just trying to finish this last 3 verses, you know? And okay, that's okay. That's what it's looking like this morning. I've got the whole rest of the day to come back in the afternoon, to come back mid-morning, to come back late afternoon, to come back this evening. I have all of my life to be pouring out myself into the Word. I don't need to be angry that I didn't get this one quiet moment. And I'm teaching her this is what it looks like, right? This is learning the Bible together. We're leaning together. So Richard Cecil says, let family worship be short, savory, simple, tender, and heavenly. I thought that was sweet. I don't know that our family devotionals are particularly short, mine or my husband's, which is not a bad thing either. So whatever it is that your husband does for your family devotion, encourage him in it. Make sure that you are praying for him. Make sure that you are making it easy for him to do family devotional time. If he would like dinner to be earlier, then do it early. If he'd like the kids to be in bed after family devotion, or you know he goes late, then get the kids in showers and jams, and then come to family devotional time. Mm. That way there's no like, oh, now there's another 30, 45 minutes of work to be done after devotions are over. Mm-hmm. If you know that he tends to run over close to bedtime, get their blankies and that animal. Focus on first things first. Make sure you and your husband are on the same page. If he's like, I'd really like the kids to be sitting up listening, that's a great opportunity to be like, okay, kids, let's make sure you have a little rest this afternoon so you're ready for dad. Or, honey, would you be okay if we started devotions a little earlier tonight so the kids can be fully awake? Or if he's okay with them sleeping, get them a cozy pillow, right? Whatever it is that he's doing, encourage him in it and build him up in it. If he's like, my throat is scratchy, I can't do devotions with my voice, but I want to do it, can you read it tonight? Sure, no problem, honey. Whatever it is, you come alongside him. I don't know what to do next. Do you have suggestions? Yes, here. I have all these books. What do you want? And let him be the one you're lifting up, not why don't you have this already thought, figured out, or why are you not just like this, like stellar, perfect leader of our family, right? God gave him you so you can help him. Take advantage of that and be as helpful as you can. So your family devotional time may not be daily. I know for our family in the school year, it's nearly daily. Does anybody else want to share how you do your family devotions? So when I mean nearly daily, I mean me doing family devotions is nearly daily. Is that similar for anybody else?
Yes.
Yes, for Anna too. Okay. And then not for you guys. How often do you guys do it?
Very sporadic.
Okay.
The school that they go to, they have a Bible class every single morning.
Yeah.
So usually our devotional time is them telling us what they went over during that time, and then there's always a lot of compare with how our church is and how that church is. So those are great teaching lessons.
Oh, wow.
Too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So family devotion also doesn't have to be morning also, right? Mm-hmm. Like it could be when the kids get home from school, there's a quiet half hour, and we aim for that. I would say, I would encourage you, whatever it is you're doing, and strive to just do like one step better, right? Like if you ever talk to someone who's like exercising, they're like, I want to lift 5 pounds heavier. I want to run a minute faster or something, right? Like there's a goal that we set for ourselves. Try to make your goal like, okay, if we've been hitting 3 times a week, I want to hit 4 times a week. We're going to aim really hard and we're going to make it like whatever the communication is, right? So like you were saying, Sid, that your family's like here, there, everyone's independent. So it may not be the morning time. It may be like the afternoon. It may be the evening. There may be like 3 days a week where you guys, no one has anything at 3 p.m. Monday, Thursday, and Friday. So 3 p.m. on those days, we're all going to, right? Or whatever it looks like. But being very intentional and planning, because just like dinner doesn't just like magically appear on the table, like dinner time, ta-da! You have to plan, go to the store and buy the stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to like prepare it in a certain way with attention to details or it just will not be super great. Mm-hmm. Same thing for your family devotion time. So it doesn't have to be daily, but look and strive. How can we do just a little bit better? I know that that's been a challenge for us as well as I have kids that get older. It's like, okay, do I wait till everyone's available? What time will that be? What days will that be? Do I skip it? And so trying to be flexible, right? Like, okay, if like one of my daughter's babysitting. Okay, do we do it with the kids that are he or she's babysitting with? Sometimes we do. Okay, we're all doing devotion plus these two little, the 3-year-old and 2-year-old, they sit there with a little book and we're all doing devotional. Sometimes I'm like, okay, you can just go play with them and my 5-year-old can go with you and I'll do devotion with my boys. But trying as best I can to be consistent. It's not a like symphony orchestra that I'm performing every morning. It is merely, I love you, I'm your mom. The most important thing in our life is God's word. Let's read it together and come before him in prayer because we all need it, mainly me. Lord, please help us today. That can be very simple. I love when it goes really smooth. So I love when we have family devotion time and we're sitting down in the living room and it's so precious and the sun's like streaming in through the window and everyone's paying attention. Everyone like made room for each other on the couch or whatever. We're quiet and attentive. No one's like picking their nose and no one is distracted or trying to get my attention because they've got to go get a cup of water. It rarely looks like that. Most of the time it's like, okay, this is going to be a battle. I know their flesh does not want to do this, mm-hmm. right? Because we know our flesh loves comfort. Bible is hard to understand. Mm-hmm. I want to go upstairs and be playing with Legos or sleeping in or whatever. Okay, so their flesh doesn't like it. Satan, for sure, does not want us to have Bible time, right? Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 talks about putting on the spiritual armor of God. This is a spiritual war we're fighting. So I know before I even come to Bible time, Satan has a whole scheme of things to distract all of us with. Oh, look, there's a bird. Oh, there's a lizard. You know, and everyone's just, oh, mom, by the way, I forgot to tell you about something. I'm like, we're in the middle of Proverbs. What are you talking about? You know, my own expectations. So coming with my own self prepared and just doing the best that I can, knowing something is better than nothing. Something is better than nothing. Even if it's like, that is not really what I really wanted, but it was something. Thank you, Lord, it was something. Mm-hmm. And just being able to move on from there and knowing it will get better as you have practice and as you go through. And sometimes we adjust. Okay, well, today everyone slept in because we were all tired, right? Monday morning from church, usually Sunday night, everyone's exhausted. So sometimes Monday morning, I might be having devotions at the dining room table while people are eating their breakfast or not eating breakfast in a blanket because they're so tired or drinking a cup of coffee or whatever they're doing. We're just all going to sit here and we're going to do devotions together. It doesn't have to be the way I think it needs to be for it to be successful. Mm-hmm. So that's really, really, really crucial just to think of. It's okay if there's a lot of interruptions. Don't speak in a self-deprecating way about what you're doing. Like, oh, I know I could have done better. No. They don't know what could be any better. They don't have no idea. All they know is here's mom pouring out her life for them. And you just keep being faithful. The Lord will use it. We don't know how the Lord is using what we're doing in each of their hearts and minds. And we may never know, but God knows. And so when you are faithful in these little mundane ways, It is like building one tiny layer upon the next, word by word, step by step, and you're demonstrating to them, this is what a life filled up with God's love and spirit looks like to them. You're helping them to envision, I could be a faithful mother or father one day. I can be an adult who loves God, because look at my mom. She's not perfect, but she loves the Lord. I can do what she's doing. And you want them to think that. Mm-hmm. If you see someone doing something spectacular, you watch the Olympics, do you ever think, I could do that? Mm-hmm. Like never, right? We never think that. But then when you see someone doing something and it's accessible, you're like, I could maybe do that. Like I could, this little person, they're like cooking something and they just opened some things and chopped and then like, oh, I could try that. And then before you know it, you put it on your grocery list, you went, you bought it and you made it. You're like, wow, okay. We want that to be their example. You too can do this. When my kids get older, I have them lead Bible time. Okay, I want you to lead Bible time. I want you to read, I'll start with you just read the scripture. We're going to be practicing our review memory verses. Then it's like, okay, I want you to read the memory verses and I want you to do the devotional. Here it is, just read it out loud and then I'll be right here and we'll walk through the questions. Because I want them to be able to do what I'm doing. I am replaceable. I want to replace myself, right? They're all men and women I'm raising to send out into the world to do this. They're going to do it with a Sunday school class. They're going to do it with peers, maybe. They'll have an opportunity to help out at a middle school event, or they'll have an opportunity to help out in a Sunday school class with younger kids. When they go to college or when they are in a workplace, they might have an opportunity to lead a Bible study. I want them to be prepared to go and help other people access God's word. So we'll start at home with their siblings. Super easy, super accessible. Doesn't have to be perfect, and it's not going to be perfect. So if that was your expectation, you should get rid of it. Any questions about that? Or commiserating?
I had a quick question about devotion, like in the evening. Me and my husband were talking about, like, because since our kids are a little bit younger, like, should our expectation for them to be to sit, like, in one spot the whole time? Or, like, our one-year-old or three-year-old, like, it's really hard for them, obviously. But should that be kind of a requirement for them, even if, like, at this young age? Because, you know, they need to pay attention and everything like that. And I know even if they move around, they can still pay attention. But then other kids are getting, you know, and it's just a lot of movements and not a lot of listening happening.
So much moving. Yeah. Does anybody want to comment on that? Allah, do you want to? No.
I only have two. And they're like
They move.
Yeah, but they're very similar in age. And I feel like we weren't consistent with it when they were younger. So I really can't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm just really hard.
I would really encourage you to keep first things first. Mm-hmm. So what is your goal of Bible time? Mm-hmm. They hear the word?
Right.
Can they hear the word and still like squiggle around on their knees back and forth? Like roll their hips over each calf bone, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Yes, they can. Mm-hmm. Okay. What about if they fall asleep? They fell asleep listening to God's word. Praise God. That's the best way to fall asleep.
Yeah.
So we want to make God's word accessible. Mm-hmm. We want there to be an expectation in certain instances mm-hmm. and places, right, that there's a reverential attitude we have when we come mm-hmm. to the Lord. When we come right. to the Lord in prayer, we don't speak in a way that's almost like overly familiar in a disrespectful way, mm-hmm. but familiar like when you go to your dad, you're not like, oh, Father, right? Like you right. come to him because you love him and know him for mm-hmm. the most part, mm-hmm. usually, intimately. And when we come to church, it's a different atmosphere. So we train our children, mm-hmm. okay, we're going to sit. We're not going to lay with our blankie. We're going to sit up. We're mm-hmm. going to pay attention to the pastor. We put on special clothes. We don't wear jams, you know, things like that. At home, that's like a cozy, intimate, familiar mm-hmm. place. For us, for our family, mm-hmm. we have made it a priority to say the goal is that we're hearing God's word. Mm-hmm. And it's okay if they have a blanket and mm-hmm. they fall asleep. Mm-hmm. It's okay if they are trying to pay attention and they nod off or they lay their head down or they're, you know, like doing something with their hand or whatever. You know, like I had times where I would be reading the Bible time to them and they were younger and I would let them have like something to color with mm-hmm. or like a little Lego man. They would just be holding one little yeah. guy. Something yeah. that's like very small and simple for certain kids that helps them not to be like touching their neighbor.
Yes. That's our thing. I don't mind them doing things, but their kids starting doing this to everyone.
Yes. keeping, yeah. so having specific rules onto like communicating mm-hmm. to your husband, mm-hmm. honey, what are you okay with? Mm-hmm. Are you okay with this, this, and this? Okay, great. Yeah. And then you communicate it to the kids. So like when we're doing family Bible time for our family, mm-hmm. my husband's teaching, I'm going, I'm getting people the water. You need a cough drop. No, you can't do that. Okay, mm-hmm. it's like 8:45. I'm taking Lizzie to bed. Like whatever it is to facilitate mm-hmm. him continuing to have, because that's mm-hmm. like there's so many questions.
Yeah.
Daddy, what about this? What about, will there be angels in heaven? What about this? Will I turn into an angel? How big is heaven? Where will my house be? Will we work in heaven? And it's just like, they're just like on these tangential yeah. trails, and they love it because here's dad, and he's just a source. Dad, tell us all the things. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this was not what I was going to be doing. Let's try to finish up what I prepared for, you know? But it's really precious, mm-hmm. and we recognize that now on the back end. I would say like on the front end, we prioritize far too much. Everyone sits still. Extra. Mm-hmm. This is, which was helpful. Mm-hmm. But now as we get older, we realize that there's still a place for that. That family, devotion time, mm-hmm. it's okay. We want them to see God's word as a comfort and a refuge and a source mm-hmm. of wisdom. It, mm-hmm. we don't want it to be something that's held far off at arm's length. Like I can only approach, okay, I'm going in to listen now. Like, oh yeah. wow, that's really interesting. What happened to Nadab? Right? Like they, you want them to have that interaction. So it really has to be a conversation between mm-hmm. you and your husband because mm-hmm. you want to be upholding what his expectation is. Mm-hmm. And if it's in the middle of Bible time and you're like, and he's like, tell our son to sit up. He needs to be paying attention. And you're like, he's okay. And you're trying to communicate yeah. with him and it's just like, oh, this is hard. Much better to communicate. What would you like, honey? Mm-hmm. Or maybe would you like me just to take up kids who are sleepy as they fall asleep? Or put them to, or do you just want everyone to lay still and it's okay? I saw a picture the other day of someone's kids and one of them had fallen asleep in their my mom's lap while the dad was doing Bible time. I'm like, it's not abnormal. It would be better mm-hmm. to be consistent and it's like, well, they got to bed a little bit later or they fell asleep in your lap, then, well, we just didn't have Bible time because it was too late, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that that needs to be the caution mm-hmm. as the mom is, oh, we got to keep the schedule. We can't mess up the schedule. Mm-hmm. The kitchen has to be clean. We got to bed on time. It's like mm-hmm. spiritual influence is more important. So don't neglect that mm-hmm. and just be on the same page mm-hmm. as your hubby when they're smaller, especially. Mm-hmm. And start mm-hmm. earlier if they're like fidgety or more at a certain time or mm-hmm. move it. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're not so fidgety at lunch. Let's do family Bible time at mm-hmm. lunchtime if your hubby had that flexibility. Mm-hmm. If it's like only once a week or certain days, let's do it at breakfast. Let's have brunch. Like, whatever. Find what works for you guys, right? Let's say family Bible time in the car. Everyone is strapped into a seat. No one can go anywhere. Praise God. You know,
captive
like.
Audience.
What's that?
Captive audience.
I used to put on my makeup when my kids were young in the car. Because everyone was strapped into a car seat and I didn't have to chase them or anything. I'd be like, great, we're all in the car. I'd give myself a little extra time and I'd sit there in the AC and I would put on my makeup. I was like, great. This is a winning situation with lots of little people. So I would talk to your husband about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a difference between, like, I don't want to pay attention, and I'm just like, oh, and
right.
I'm paying attention, but I'm getting sleepy and tired, or I'm fidgety, I'm little, mm-hmm. and so teaching them mm-hmm. self-control, but balancing that with an appropriate expectation mm-hmm. for their age.
Yes.
Are you teaching them in other times of the day to have self-control? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then this may just be a slow process of them growing. Are you, like, allowing them any time of the day to just basically do whatever they want? And so Bible time is really challenging because mm-hmm. they're like, what do you mean I have to sit here? Mm-hmm. I want to be like turning upside down on the couch and doing cartwheels. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Sometimes Bible time is more revealing for mom because you're like, ooh, sure. I have mm-hmm. some areas of training sure. to work on.
Yeah.
Would you say to keep it shorter for, and then kind of just expanding on as they get older? Mm-hmm. That way there's like short and to the point points where they can repeat it back to you instead of.
Yes. Yes. So I would say that when you are leading Bible time, as mom, right, your goal should be, I want to engage my children's heart. Mm-hmm. And if you can use something that helps that to be succinct like this, mm-hmm. like we're going to read, we're going to talk about the truth, I'm going to ask you some questions, and then we're going to pray. Mm-hmm. But that's rarely going to be fast because you're reading and asking questions and reading yeah. truth. Be willing for it to take some time, mm-hmm. right? Like if you make tea, right, you have to let this tea bag seep. You want to be seeping in scripture and mm-hmm. the attitude of rushing should not be in your mm-hmm. disposition at all. Mm-hmm. If you feel rushed, you need to go to the Lord first. Lord, forgive me for feeling rushed. I've had kids who try to rush me and I start to feel rushed. I'm like, wait, why am I feeling rushed? Mm-hmm. There's nothing to rush. Mm-hmm. This is, and I say it for them, for me. This is the most important part of our day. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you will do right today that is more important than this. Mm-hmm. Not your math, not your history, mm-hmm. none of it. This is the most important part of your day. Yeah. And I say it for me too because I can feel their pressure. Like, well, I've got to get started because I have some kids that are like, I want to get all my schoolwork done by a certain time. I have goals. I have expectations. It doesn't matter the age. Like, they're just, it's their disposition. And then I have other kids that are just like, oh, yeah, whatever. We can just take as long as we want. And so I have to really make sure that they know there's no rushing.
Yeah.
That being said, not dragging it out and making it this big, long hour thing. It doesn't need to be that.
Right.
There are times where I'm like, well, I thought we were doing this, and I just found out something has come up.
Right.
Okay, so our Bible time today is actually going to be praying. We're going to read our memory verse together, and I'm going to encourage each one of you and ask particularly, where do you need prayer? And then we're going to close. And that's it. And Bible time was 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah.
If when your husband's leading Bible time, that's not up to you. So you just come alongside him and pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like, wow, like my husband loves to go long. That's just who my husband is.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So Bible time's going to be long. And you don't allow yourself to be affected by kids that are like, oh, Bible time. I guess we'll be going to bed at 10 tonight or whatever. Which that does not happen. But you just let them exaggerate. You're just like, yeah, sure. Like, I'm not going to be affected by it, and my attitude helps my children see what attitude they should have. So if I'm like, I love Bible time, I do love Bible time, but if I love Bible time, even the days where I'm like, I have a lot to do, right now it's a Saturday night, I have a lot to do, it's Saturday night, I really want to get going on things I have tomorrow, we're having people over, it's been a long day, I want to get to bed early. If my attitude is like, okay, honey, look at my watch, I'm like, I'm ruining it. My children are watching me. I'm modeling for them.
Yeah.
My husband notices that, the time he spent to prepare. So trying not to hem in any of those things. And then if your husband asks you, what did you think? And you're like, it was great. Should I go shorter, honey? Maybe a little bit, right? Waiting to see, does he ask to give that feedback and not see you because you don't want him thinking, my wife is waiting in the wings with a list of critiques to give me.
Mm.
No, not at all. Thank you so much. That was a great point about blank. I really thought your questions or point about this was so good, et cetera. In light of eternity, can we really spend too much time?
Right.
And if you have kids with short attention spans or they're little, give them something to color.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam Forrester, who does this, this booklet and does the If Then Chart, she has Bible studies with color this, like a Proverbs one. Have your kids color a picture about, and it's a coloring page on the proverb you're going to that day. So it's like the woman who is nagging is like a dripping faucet. It's better to live for her to live on the corner of a roof, or it's better to live on a corner roof than live with that kind of, it's like a picture of a guy living on the corner of a roof. It's like, here, color this picture while you're reading about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is helpful for little people who need to, but yes, you should try not to make it obscenely long. That's why this helps us to be succinct. So let's talk about what are a few reasons we should have Bible time regularly. It's a command, Ephesians 6:4, to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Reading the Bible with them regularly demonstrates the importance of it. So even if it's not daily, it's demonstrating it nourishes our souls. We need it regularly, right? We can't say we need the Bible regularly, but then never read it with our kids. That doesn't even make sense. Devotions create an opportunity to teach our kids to pray. And if you don't make your kids pray at devotions, I would encourage you to think about how you can support them and enable them to do it in a way that doesn't feel like pressure, right? So maybe you start off by just saying, let's each pray for one, the person next to us, right? And they ask for prayer for wisdom. So it could just be, please help my sister have wisdom. And then as that grows, you start to help them to learn how to pray more and pray biblically according to the scripture, right? Your children do not know how to pray unless you teach them. They will probably be like my children who prayed that we would all have a good time all the time. And I was like, what are we praying? This is not biblical, guys. Or they ramble on and on. One kid would pray for whatever the sibling asked for, and then in addition, pray that God would help them not to do some particular sin that child had done recently, and they'd go into detail about that child's sin. Like today, when they, please help them not to slam the door on me when I try to go up to use the bathroom, and they get there before me, and they shut the door, and they sing ha-ha behind, I'm like, whoa, okay. Right? You want to help them to know how to pray. So I would, that is a really great time. together to be able to instruct them with less pressure. It's not like dinner table with grandparents, like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to pray. It's not in small group or home group or in Bible study class. Like, it's just your mom and your dad. It's your brothers and your sisters. It helps them to know how to have an dependence upon God as well and His Word. They're watching you pray. They're watching their siblings pray. They're learning about confessing sin to mm-hmm. God. They're learning about asking for forgiveness. They're learning about praising God. Mm-hmm. And Bible times are especially sweet when your family's going through a hard season mm-hmm. of something. It's really precious to come together because you're all enduring the same challenge together. Mm-hmm. You should be relying on each other and encouraging each other. And if your kids have an opportunity to express to you any fears or worries, Bible time's a great time. Like, I'm scared. Dad lost his job. I'm scared. We're going to move. I'm scared. Our roof came off. I'm scared. Whatever. You know, I'm angry. I didn't make the basketball team. I'm upset mm-hmm. that, you know, our grandma can't come visit at Christmas. Whatever it is, that you can have a conversation with them and you can be like, that's a really good question. Let's talk about that. Everybody open up your Bible. That's great. And sometimes your siblings, your kids will say, can I think I know the answer. Sure, go ahead. And let them talk about it. I would go to this scripture. That sounds great. I would have gone there too. Let's talk about it. Bible time also allows you to help your child build a firm foundation of truth to have a biblical worldview, not a worldly worldview. Helps your own relationship with your kids. You see where they have needs, how you can come alongside them and help them. It helps them to realize that you also are under God's authority and you need the Lord, you need His Word. And it also helps us to address sensitive and difficult issues with training our kids. This is great when you have the opportunity to be like, you know, my kids are really lacking in love or serving others. My kids are really huge complainers. We're going to talk about complaining for a couple mm-hmm. of weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a season where our kids were not being very careful with their speech. It was just like harsh and cutting. Wasn't very gracious towards others. And so it was like, okay, we're studying the tongue. Everybody get out your Bibles, turn to James 3. And we just got into it. Okay, why do we talk like this? Let's talk about that. What should our speech look like? It was great. And I had the prerogative to do it because I'm the mom and I'm doing Bible time. It's great. Terry Johnson says, young mom and dads who were not raised with family worship will sometimes ask exactly what that looks like. It is simply a scheduled time in each day when the family gathers together to worship God. There's at least three essential ingredients to family worship: singing, reading, and praying. So let's talk about those. Now that's Terry Johnson's quote. So again, guard against comparison. This is a buffet of options. You are still okay to not do Bible time every day. You maybe it looks like every other day. Maybe it looks like three times a week. Maybe it's just you and your husband works out of town or is busy and he does it once a week. Maybe he does it three times a week. Maybe he never does it. That's okay. You have an avenue. It's called prayer. Start accessing it. Lord, please move in my husband's heart to desire to do Bible time with us. Right? Maybe ask, Lord, is there a family that does Bible time? Encourage them, put us on their hearts to invite us over for dinner, that we would be able to spend Bible time with them and they could teach us and teach my husband how to do that, right? Going through a marriage book with your husband where these kinds of questions come up is a great opportunity to talk about them. Maybe your husband doesn't even know what Bible time is or that you even want to do Bible time. Mm-hmm. Maybe he thinks you've got it because you're already doing it. So he's like, yeah, of course, you're doing a great job, honey. Well, yeah, but I want you to do it. Well, how would he know that? Have you had that conversation? Mm-hmm. So it's just a really good opportunity to, Lord, help me just to be honest and humble and vulnerable with my husband and talk to him and pray for him. So the how-tos, the studying with devotions, you can get a book like this and go through it. You can also do the character traits. You can also do a book of the Bible. So Pam Forrester, who does this, she has something online that's called Busy Mama Bible Study, and you can enroll for like a year, and it gives you access to all of her Bible studies online. Mm-hmm. She'll send you every day what you're supposed to do, or you can go to her website and do it, and she leads you through the book. Like, okay, I did James 1 and 2 with her, and then I would do like the first like 10 verses, and then I would start doing it with my kids, and I would teach them what I learned. Mm-hmm. So just open up to James. I mean, I was literally teaching. Now, that was in a season when we were not as involved, the church we were involved in didn't have as many options. So that was very challenging once we came here because there's so many things to be involved in. We're in K for T and I'm studying at the women's study and it was like, wow, I can't keep up. Mm-hmm. So we had to transition. But that was great for that season and it's very helpful. Like in the summer, we don't have a women's study. So you could be looking through and studying and like, I'm just going to teach my kids what I'm learning. Mm-hmm. It's not an extra thing. Does anybody have anything else that they use besides these that like, I really love it, or I tried it and this was terrible, don't do it? No? Okay. Let's talk about praying. So along with the reading and the devotionals and the scripture memory, we also want to be teaching our kids to pray, which is just you praying and they listen. You also are going to want to teach them when they're young, like things like, let's close our eyes, let's fold our hands, or even kneeling, right? There's a time to do all of those things and explain, why do we do this, right? Because that'll come up. Why do I have to do this? Do I have to do it? Or, Mom, so-and-so wasn't closing their eyes during the prayer. Oh, really? How do you know that? You know? And so the kids will pray in all sorts of odd positions, like upside down on the couch. You know, you're just like, oh, no, what are we doing? So it's really great to teach them, this is how we pray. There's a reason why we pray like this, right? We close our eyes so we're not distracted looking at things. We fold our hands for the same reason. It is a position of submission and humility, but also keeps us from touching and distracting ourselves and our neighbor, which is super important to point out to them. When you do whatever, do you think it affects the person sitting next to you? Can they feel you jostling and moving around? Teaching them how to pray. So talking scripture is a great place to pray. If they don't know what to pray, my kids have Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 memorized, and I have encouraged them. Every person needs wisdom, so just pray that. If you don't remember what to pray, because we'll go around and we'll ask, what would you like for prayer for each person? And I'll write it down. Okay, so someone will say, I would like prayer because I'm feeling anxious. I have a lot of work to do this week, and I'm afraid I'm not going to get it all done, and I really want to go to this thing at the end of the week. And okay, so we're going to pray that they won't feel anxious and they'll trust in God. And then let's say sibling gets to their turn to pray, and it's like, and I will sometimes tell them, but I remind them, Proverbs 3, you can pray for wisdom for everybody. They all need wisdom. Just pray for wisdom. The Lord knows. It's okay. And so teaching them how to pray, it's really great when you're in a family, too, because they learn how to be patient with other people who aren't so good at praying, right? Because the 14-year-old or the 16-year-old, they can kind of pray, like, sufficiently, right? But then you listen to, like, the 9-year-old and 5-year-old pray, and they sometimes get stuck on repeat, like there's a scratch in the record, and you're just like, but they know, they are used to those types of things, or they hear prayers, and your older kids can start to discern, oh, that's not a biblical prayer. And so then when it's all done, I'll be like, you know, let's talk about that. I noticed you prayed this. Why did you pray that? Oh, because I really love my brother or sister, and I really want them, like, to have a good time. I really want them to have fun. Okay, what do you think God's priority is for us? Does the Bible ever talk about having fun? No. Yeah, you know the answer is no because I'm asking you that question. But you're right. It doesn't say anything about having a good time. What do we know the Bible says? We should be holy. We should be wise. We should be careful the way we walk. We should be walking in a way that's worthy of the name of Christ. There's a lot of things that we should do. We should be filled up with the fruits of the Spirit. Pray any of those. So encouraging them and directing them on how to pray is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about singing. Sometimes we sing. Does anybody else sing? Okay, Alice says no. Do you guys sing?
We try to, but it's we need to follow along with somebody else who sings better than us.
Usually. Yeah, so true. So I did not sing anything when I was a kid. I did not grow up in the church, so I got a hymnal at the first church we were part of. And then I went online and I taught myself from like hymnal.org or something. This was like in 2005. There was not like a whole lot of stuff available. Mm-hmm. And I taught myself these hymns and then I sang them to the kids and taught them songs. That was us singing hymns because I was like, well, we have to learn.
Does Christian music count?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, we listen to it. We don't sing along,
well, but
we
listen. I was going to say, like, I'm folding laundry. I'll put that on.
Yeah.
And sometimes I sing with it because it's just me.
Yeah.
Or in the car.
That absolutely counts. Yeah. So sometimes
Well, then we do say.
Sometimes we will pull up, I will go and I will check what is our song on Sunday, our song list on Sunday, and I will put that up and be like, let's sing this and get ready for, let's sing something that's going to be, we're going to be singing on Sunday because it makes it easier for you to be singing because you're already familiar with it. Mm-hmm. We don't sing all the time. We used to sing a lot more. I love to do that, but it does take more practice and focus on what you're doing. Having a little hymnal is super helpful because then you don't have to use any like media, which can become its own distraction when there's like a technological malfunction or everyone's like, oh, what's this? Or there's like a commercial or something. So if you already know what it is, or you can lead it without looking, or you can just look at the lyrics and they know it, that's helpful. But it's really helpful because your singing is going to help you to do a couple of things. One, it's going to help you to encourage people who like music. You probably have someone in your family who really likes music. Whether they can sing or not, they probably like it. And when you don't sing, you're neglecting something that they enjoy just because maybe it's not your favorite. Two, it's going to help you to put truth in their mind in a different way. So we oftentimes will remember things we sing more so than, like, I read it, right? Because it's catchy, the tune, and you might be humming it throughout the day. One of my kids would say hemming. That's what I was thinking of. They would say, I'm just hemming, and I'm like, so precious. I look at the big siblings. Don't correct them. It will help them to focus on truth because they will be humming the tune, which makes you think of the words throughout the day, thinking on truth. And three, you do not know where the Lord is going to take you or your children. And to be able to have those truths stored up in your mind through a song so that in the hardest, deepest moments of suffering and trial, you can access this wealth of truth because you have solid rock or firm foundation or holy, holy, holy stored up in your head because you sang it at family Bible time. Praise God. So make it a practice. Try to get a couple of songs that you're just like, we're going to listen to these or sing them, whether they're modern songs. You can pull up the lyrics and look at them. That is the great thing about YouTube. If you can use your tablet or cast it to your screen, if you have a TV, you can find a song that you want to sing with the lyrics. So they can sing the lyrics and not be like, well, I don't know the words. Look, they're on the screen in front of like a mountain. Let's all sing it together, right? Your Bible time is not void because you didn't have singing.
Well, it's funny because like you were saying, you don't always sing. And I find sometimes I'm singing and it's really not penetrating. It's just by rote. And other times I'll not sing and really listen to the words and it makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? So it's like different depending on what's going on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is very helpful sometimes just to turn it on as we're starting Bible time and turn it on and we're listening to it as we come in. It's helpful when we were memorizing Psalm 119 last year, I think. No, 2 years ago. There's a whole recording of Psalm 119 and it's lovely and we've listened to it and we memorized several stanzas because of that, which are whole 8 verses at a time. So don't underestimate the value of music. There are truths of scripture woven throughout these rich hymns that will make you really see the God's truth in a different way. Like, wow, I never thought about it. I mean, we have delved into scripture because of hymns many times. My kids have said, what does that mean? I'm like, I don't know. Let's look it up. Mm-hmm. That is one of the things we've done for devotionals as well, is we used hymns and their history book. We would go through and we would sing the hymn, and then I would read about the history of the hymn. Mm. And then we would sing that hymn the rest of the week as we did our family. Like, we'd read through it like a scripture, because that would like took up a chunk of time on the first day. Mm-hmm. But it was great, because then they'd learn the history behind these things. Mm-hmm. And I did, too. It was really neat, because I was like, this is so interesting.
Does anybody else do the Christmas hymns when it's not Christmas time?
My kids listen to it. Yeah, you can start listening to them like in the fall. Yeah. Like, let's get ready. We're going to be singing these.
Some of them are just so good.
Yeah. So beautiful. I completely agree. Yeah. So mainly, don't get hung up on devotions only being led by your husband, being perfect. Everyone's attentive. Everyone answers with really great, engaging questions or responses. Don't let Bible time become an idol. Don't make it a check-off box because, like, I'm so spiritual. Look, I did it. Do it for the Lord. Do devotions when it works best for you, whether it's when your kids come home from school, before homework, at dinner time, before or after evening activities. Maybe the best time for devotion is we're all getting ready for bed. We've all got we're showered, we have our PJs on, and now we're all just going to sit, like, in one person's room. We're going to pile in mom and dad's bed, whatever it is, and we're just going to read this together and be encouraged. Make sure that you are just being faithful. Don't look for perfection. You won't find it. This is not heaven. It might work out that your husband will be able to lead it with them. It might work out that you're the main person doing it on the daily. Find a time or even two in your day to focus on learning about the Lord together. Do your best to keep some consistency in it. If you can't daily, then just several times a week. You will really enjoy the sweet memories that you make together by being faithful in this area. Edith Schaefer says, truth was meant to be given from generation to generation. If those who knew God and who had so much to tell about him had always been faithful and had stuck to his commands, there would have been no gaps. So here are a few last tidbits. Here's our few real life examples of how devotions can be done. depends on the ages of your kids. Regular bedtime routine. We just talked about that. Pile into a bedroom or on a big bed with mom and dad and sing some songs together, read a devotional book, read out the Bible, act out the story. My kids loved acting out. Mm-hmm. Do you guys do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure one of my kids would like that too.
Yeah, they love, my kids loved that. Pray together, talk about a current issue or trial or local or global event that might be as your kids get older. I know that's been helpful for us. Like, let's talk about this. What does this mean? What does this look like? Don't be afraid. Let's talk about what the Lord's doing here. Mm-hmm. That was particularly helpful a few years ago. Things were changing. It seems like by the day, it was really helpful just to, okay, mom and dad are here. We're with you. Don't be afraid. God will take care of us. A regular mealtime routine. So use one of these books or just read your scripture that you're going through around breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Or maybe even tea time in the afternoon, right? Like if you are morning tea. Right? We had morning tea for a season. We'd have little like biscotti, we'd have tea, and everyone would sit there and we were doing RK for tea at that time. But whatever your devotional is, you could be doing it during that time. Answer your kids' questions without making them feel rushed. And maybe even consider keeping a box of Bible trivia cards on your table for some fun family competition. We have a game we play in our family called I don't think it's called Bible Trivia. Maybe we called Who's in the Bible, maybe? I can't remember what we call it. But it's basically think of someone in the Bible. So my husband introduced this. I'm thinking of someone in the Bible, and you have to guess questions. Mm. The most hilarious part is most of the people who are playing who are younger don't actually know enough to actually think of someone in the Bible. So you'll ask them questions like, were they a prophet? I don't know. Okay, were they a priest? No. Were they a king? Did they love God? You're like, okay, you need an older person to help you with your person in the Bible. But it's great because they want to know, and it gives you something to do when you are in a car ride, waiting at a stoplight, at a doctor's office, at a restaurant. You're just waiting. Okay, we're waiting. Let's do this. Let's talk.
It was a board game, basically? Did you have any questions? Or
no, just like my cards? Husband would just say, I'm thinking of someone in the Bible.
Oh, okay.
And they would ask questions. Okay. Is it a boy? Yes. Is it in the Old Testament? Yes. Yeah. Is he a prophet? No. Keep going. Of course, my husband was the best and picked the most obscure. The goal is as you get older to pick more and more obscure people so that people are like, I don't know. I give up. Once a week, family night. So you could go through a Bible teaching DVD series. That's an idea. You could watch a documentary series. We have a series we got called Dispatches from the Front. We got it for Christmas one year, and it is about a man who travels to different closed countries in the world and interviews the people there and follows with them and goes to where they are, and you hear about some of them you should preview first because the things he's interviewing about, you're like, wow, that is really hard. So we did have some of those where I'm like, okay, I'm glad you're not paying attention because he's talking about certain things where I'm like, wow, this is a little bit intense for my 6-year-old. Mm-hmm. But the older kids were like, wow, this is really great. And they're in closed countries. So the people he's talking to have paid really, really severely to be followers of God. And you're just like, wow. And he's showing their life and all their... anywhere from like 30 minutes to like an hour and a half long, but it's just, you're watching this man go and do what the missionaries or people who live in that country do to talk to them about Jesus. It's really interesting. So something like that you could do where you're talking to them and you're watching and then you talk about it together. What did we just see? What do you think about that? You could do a regular school day devotion. Start your day with Bible time if you're a homeschool family. We do that. Or you could do a devotion a la with your kids when they come home from school, if they leave super early. You could do a little prayer time and a short story or song when you have little ones that are toddlers. It doesn't have to be a long, big thing. Just be, let's just pray. God loves us. Let's sing a song to him, you know? Keeping a spiritual family connection. So during the times where, A, we feel like our season of life is going all over the place, like holidays, it could be summer, because summer gets kind of crazy with, like, we're going to camp, we're having VBS, we are doing a beach day. Company is coming. We're going out of town and the schedule is really wild. Do what you can to encourage each other in the word. Keep a spiritual connection, even if it does not meet the expectation or standard you have of like, Bible time should be like 30 minutes. We should be praying. We should be singing. We should be, okay, something is better than nothing. Something, just keep repeating that mantra. Something is better than nothing. It may just be pulling your kids in close, giving them a hug, praying for them. We are going to need you today, Lord, right? Think about your kids. If they're exhausted and they've slept in, right? It's summer. They wanted to go outside. This is a true story. My kids are like, oh, the neighbor wants us to come outside and run through the sprinkler. It's 9 p.m. Sure. It's the summer. Why not? Go put on your bathing suits. Go run through the sprinklers. Well, now they sleep in the next morning until like 8 o'clock or 8:30. Well, we're supposed to leave at 9 to get ready to maybe go to beach day. Am I going to wake them up at 8 and say, get out of bed. We've got to do Bible time before we go to beach. No, no. We're about to go out and be in the hot sun. We're going to pray in the car on the way to beach day. We're going to remind ourselves about truth, and we're going to pray together. We're going to listen to a song and sing mm-hmm. together. That's still Bible time. Mm-hmm. Success. Consistency. Mm-hmm. Is your focus on the Lord? Their focus will be on the Lord. It doesn't have to always look the same way. So that's the main, those are the main points. And then you've got a handout that talks about recommended resources, parent resources, reading and teaching, devotional books. I brought all these that you can look at. And then as well on the back, older kids studies, teaching them how to read through the Bible, as well as singing. So down here, you can see there are a few for singing, and I have a few more that I wrote down if you want to write them down at the bottom of your list. Let's see. So I also have, oh, and Jill recommended a book this morning. It's called Setting Their Hope in God, which is about biblical intercession for your children. The author is Andrew Case. So that's another recommendation. Other music that I would recommend. Did you want me to repeat that?
Yeah, can you say that? That
yeah. Mentioned? Biblical, Setting Their Hope in God.
Okay.
And the author's Andrew Case. So singing. Oh, good. She added it on there. Slugs and Bugs by Randall Goodgame. I love Slugs and Bugs. Okay. So Slugs and Bugs, it gets a bad rap sometimes because he has the song about a tractor, and it's utterly silly and so fun, but it has nothing to do with the Bible. So he has a lot of silly songs, and then he has a lot of songs about scripture, pure scripture, but it's very fun as well. I love. So when I'm in the nursery, if your kids are in the nursery, they will hear the old, have you heard me sing Old Testament and New Testament with the kids. Every time I'm in the nursery, we read the Bible story, and then while they're still eating their Cheerios, we sing Old Testament song and New Testament song. He has his volumes 1 and 2, and he has like nighttime lullabies. Those are really good. The other seeds, or the other Slugs and Bugs are really fun, but those volume 1 and 2 I know for sure have lots of scripture songs in them. Mm-hmm. Shane and Shane has a Kingdom Kids album. Mm-hmm. I love the music on that about, the word, loving the word, loving God, finding joy in obedience. Mm-hmm. The Lockwoods, they have at least 3 volumes. It's called Honey for the Heart. They just sing scripture. Mm-hmm. So the Psalm 119 that we memorized a couple years ago was by a group called Exodus Music. That was really helpful. It's literally Psalm 119 set to music. And every stanza is a new song. And then Dana Dirksen, she has 2 different series. She has Questions with Answers, which is kind of like catechism questions in tons of languages. So if you know someone or you yourself would like more than one language, she has it, not just in English, as well as she has a couple of discs, a couple of albums, that's what the word I was looking for, called Songs for Saplings. I know she at least has volume 1 and 2. So those are a few goodies. Does anybody have any other we should add to our list that you really enjoy?
I just really like, it's the High Point Church, and it's the album A Greatest Story Ever Told. And so they have like 12 songs there, and it basically goes through the whole Bible. And wow. It's very catchy. Like, our kids know all the words. It's like, this is the greatest story ever told. And they just, like, keep going up from, like, Adam to Revelations, and it's really fun.
Wow. That's great. That's by High Point Church?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I wrote that down. That's great. Find what your kids like and use it. That's really, you know, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be your favorite. It also doesn't have to be terrible. If you don't really like it, you don't have to listen to it. You know? I mean, it's okay. They can learn scripture without you listening to obnoxious kid music. Mm-hmm. You also can just love them. Like, my 5-year-old loves listening to Jesus Loves Me in like a billion different versions. And I'm like, great, we'll just listen to it. It's, why would I say no? Is there a biblical reason? Mm-hmm. No, there's no reason to say no. Mm-hmm. So, look for ways to encourage your kids in truth, knowing whatever you're pouring in, it's like 100 more times in the world, they're getting the opposite message. So if you feel like, oh, maybe this is overkill, think about, what is it that I want my kids to walk away with? What do I want them to know as they're adults? Mm-hmm. Is it possible for them to pursue Christ? Yes. Do they have to be like, well, I guess we just can't have music, we can't have mm-hmm. this, we can't have... No, there is an opportunity here to show your kids every part of our life is affected by God. There's nothing neutral. So we can honor the Lord with our music, we can honor the Lord with our books and with our time. We can set our hope on Him during the day and not allow ourselves just to be kind of floating along. I think that's it. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Or
A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 is a great book.
Yeah. What's the name of the book?
A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's under
Oh, it's
older
on here.
Kids.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I don't know where it is. Oh, that's the, oh, cool.
I'm an older kid, so I read it.
I love that.
No, it's, and I actually gave it, I sent it to a friend of mine who is Jewish.
Uh-huh.
Her dad passed away. And I wrote in it, you know, since we both share the Old Testament, I thought this might be, you know, comforting.
Mm-hmm.
And sent it to her. Yeah. But the way he goes through the whole of Psalm 23 is really good.
Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's go ahead and close our time together, and then if you want to take a look at any of these, you can.
I do have a quick question.
Yeah.
So I see that, like, the youngest age on here is, like, 2 to 3. So, like, I was just wondering for, like, a young family, a new family, like, starting
yes.
the discipline of doing a devotional time, when should that be, and should you start it as like just a husband and wife, you're alone and kids
yes.
come along, and you just start it at 2 to 3, or you just keep going, like you have your own set devotional time and then you build it and just bring the kids along?
Yeah, what do you want to answer?
That would be actually so much better, because you're going to be in the habit of doing it with,
yeah.
with your kids before they're even there. It's actually mm-hmm. much better when they're little infants mm-hmm. and you can just actually have a deep conversations. Mm-hmm. And not answer 100 questions.
Yeah, because I imagine it's
yeah.
hard to start a habit mm-hmm. in the midst of it.
So, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good answer. Good question. Is that it? Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time together. Oh, Father, I pray that you would strengthen us to be faithful. It is challenging sometimes to be faithful when we are full with activity during the day and we're weary, and it's really easy to think of a lot of excuses on why we can just skip some devotion time and get something done on our to-do list. I pray, God, that we would see family devotion time as the most important thing we're doing, that we would look forward to it, and that you would strengthen us and gird up our arms and our minds to go and do family devotion time, which sometimes is like wrestling. It is very challenging with children who have ideas about what they want to be doing. It's not the same idea as what we have. I pray, God, that you would help us to love it. Help us to love you, and help us to be gracious in our attitude toward our children. I pray that you'd give us right expectations for their ages. Help us as well to examine ourselves. If we haven't trained them in an area, can we really expect them to follow through with a standard of behavior we haven't expressed to them clearly? I pray that you would help us as we have devotion time tomorrow and the next day, that you would help us to look for these moments to teach our children, to listen to their questions, to come alongside them, and to exhibit a love and dependence upon you that would show them that they too can love and know you. God, I thank you for giving us families. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us a body to lean upon and be encouraged by and encourage. Help us to walk out of here, Lord, ready to serve others, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.